Yes. Yeah, buddy. Talk over pod, DJ Double in the building, and CB's in the hot seat today as well. What's going on,
What's
bro?
going on? I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Did you notice how my energy completely lifted up from the last 5 minutes we've been chatting? And now
Yeah, literally that
suddenly,
cough.
suddenly I'm not exhausted and I'm super hyper.
Yeah, that coffee's kind of hit me now, isn't it? Finally hit the system, man. Finally hit the system.
The DJ fuel has kicked in.
Literally.
Have you got your blue tick yet? Are you blue ticked up?
You know what, right? So I have my blue tick on Twitter, because
Yeah.
when Elon when he announced that he was doing what is it, Twitter Blue, I
Yeah.
was like, actually, no, what happened was he announced Twitter Blue, and I saw on my account that I could subscribe to it and pay. I think it was like £9, and then I was like, I'm not paying £9 for it. But I was like, but I can get a blue tick and be verified. But then the day after it went, so I couldn't actually sign up anymore. So
Oh.
I had a bit of FOMO. So I was like, ooh. So then when I was on Twitter for the next week, and I was like, you know what? I really wish I signed up to that subscribe, the Twitter Blue thing, so I can get the tick.
Yeah.
And then about a month later, it came back out again. So I snapped it up. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Get a blue
Yeah.
tick, because I thought, you know what, a lot of people listen to me on Twitter. I put a lot of stuff out, and I feel like having a verified tick will make people, I don't know, listen to me more, maybe.
Yeah,
I
no,
copped
I
it.
hear
But the other day, so I opened up Instagram, and I saw that at the top it says you can be verified. So I thought, I've made it. I literally
it.
thought I've
Mom, I've made it. Yes, this is it.
I literally thought I thought I made it, because like, obviously when you get to a certain stage, they might reach out to you and be like, oh, you can be verified now. So I saw it, so I clicked
Yeah.
on it, and it was like, yeah, you have to pay $11.99 to be verified on Instagram. And I was like, yeah, I haven't made it, but should I do this? But then I'm thinking to myself, do I really need to be verified on Instagram? But then there's a whole load of noise about that online at the moment, about paying and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think there's pros and cons. Like, first of all, I've always thought the blue tick culture is a bit weird. Like,
What
I
do you
remember
mean?
I like a lot of people, like it's been like aspirations for people, but like literally their main life goal is to like, yeah, I need a blue tick. Like, I need a blue tick, da, 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 da. Which I've always personally never really given a shit. Like, I don't care if I have a blue tick or not. I applied a couple of times on Instagram over the however many years and always just got told, no, you can't have the blue tick, which I thought was weird because it was like, well, I am me.
Yeah, you
Like,
are you, and
it's not a fan account, it is a DJ Double account, and I am DJ Double, and I do things. I am embedded in an industry, so it sort of makes sense for me to have one. But I don't know what their criteria, like, you're not celebrity enough, so you can't have it. I don't know, it's weird. But yeah, I've always thought, like, when influencers and stuff, like, they get their blue tick and they make a big thing up, like they celebrate, I've got a blue tick. Like, I've always thought it was weird.
It used to be such a big thing, though, isn't it? Because obviously, you see, like, all the famous people have blue ticks. So when you get a blue tick, maybe like an influence, you're like, oh my God, I've made it.
Yeah.
But like now, you can just pay for it. So I feel like when I see a blue tick now, like when I'm on Instagram now and I'm scrolling through, I'm seeing a load of blue ticks on my notifications. And I'm thinking,
Yeah,
bloody
yeah.
hell, loads of famous people are reaching out to me. But now it's just your everyday person.
This is the thing, but this is the thing that I think is weird, because if you don't really do like due diligence here, let's just say, for example, like, I'm following J. Cole on Instagram. I know it's J. Cole's account because it has a blue tick. And that's where the blue tick makes sense, because he's someone that's super famous and is someone that there will be other. You type in J. Cole on Instagram accounts and there will be loads of J. Cole accounts. There's
Yeah, like
only
the fan.
one that you know is J. Cole that goes to his device that's in his hands because it has a blue tick. Now, if all of them buy it, now I've got 16 J. Cole accounts, all with blue ticks. Which one's the fucking real J. Cole?
Yeah,
Like,
this, yeah.
that's where it doesn't make sense to me now, in the sense that literally anyone with £12 a month can just get the blue tick now.
But it's, the thing is, they do still go through a verification process, because it took me, what, 12, like, not 12 months, like a month and a bit to get verified on Twitter, because right. they say, you paid this subscription, we need to just verify a few things. So I think they try and figure out that it is you.
Yeah.
They do go for some sort of process, but maybe if like a J. Cole fan account did try it, maybe they wouldn't get it.
Well, so yeah, here's the thing. I learned this, apart from thinking it was weird, I actually did look at the benefits of having a blue tick. And the benefits of having a blue tick is that not everybody does have one.
Mm.
And if you leave comments under popular content, the blue tick is eye-catching. Do you know what I mean? If you're ever looking through the comments and you see a blue tick next to someone's name, you always glance at the name to see like, oh, who's that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but like, it won't have that effect anymore, because pretty much now, everyone can be a blue tick. If you think about it, everyone on Instagram can be a blue tick now.
Yeah.
But they need to differentiate the, now, say for example, Cristiano Ronaldo, he needs to have like a gold tick.
Yeah. So that's interesting that you said that. I was having this conversation the other day, actually. Like, yeah, it shouldn't, for the new one, shouldn't necessarily be a blue tick. This is how the conversation I was having went.
Mm.
It shouldn't necessarily be a blue tick. It should be like a green tick. If you you want to pay for verification, a green tick, and the celebrities keep the blue.
Yeah.
Like that is what makes sense. But yeah, like you say, or gold. So now everyone's got a blue tick. Ronaldo and J. Cole should have gold ticks, because they're really the people that they say they are. But I mean, other benefits, for example, like obviously I DM a lot of artists and managers to do with content and to do with interviews and stuff like that.
Mm.
Because I don't have a blue tick, my DMs go straight. If they don't follow me, it will go straight into the requests folder.
Yeah.
If they're a really famous guy, they might never, ever, ever look through that folder, which means my DM is just being lost. Do you know what I mean? And like having the blue tick chucks it into general. Put it in general, but I don't know if the new blue ticks do, but having the blue tick does.
Okay.
But also, even if it doesn't put it into general, it does actually make it stand out.
Yeah, because if it's in requests and you scroll through your requests, you see a blue tick, you're more likely to see to
precisely
look at that.
So you're a famous person, but someone with a blue tick's DM me. Who is that? Even if it's just a quick glance at the message, at least they're seeing it. So I see that as a benefit. And again, like, you know, as like someone who does content and puts content out.
Mm.
Normal, like, I hate using this term, but normal people will see the content on Instagram and they're more likely to pay attention and they're more likely to buy in and follow if you have a blue tick.
Yeah.
For now.
But I feel like it's going to get like, I don't know if saturated is the word, but once every single person has a blue tick, then it's just going to be just a natural thing that everyone sees, and it's not going to be that amazing anymore.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be the only person on Instagram without the blue tick. And everyone's going to be like, right, this guy hasn't got a blue tick. He must be famous.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of talk about it, innit? Like, because people are like, why are you paying for verification? Like, I mean, $11.99 a month for a tick is quite a lot, if you think about it. I think people are just like, why are you paying for that? You're paying for, I don't know, paying for clout or whatever, but... If people, like, the way I see it, if people want to spend their money, they can spend their money in it. Like, it does bring like some sort of benefits, because it protects you from, like, you know, like the amount of times I've seen on my Instagram account, the amount of people that's been hacked, and all you see is Bitcoin all over their story.
Oh yeah.
It kind of stops that. It gives you more security and stuff like that, and you can do extra things. And then, like in live streams, you can people can like buy badges and then give you money during live streams and stuff like that. So it does have its features.
That's quite sick. I didn't know about any of that.
Yeah,
what's the extra security though? How does it give you extra security from being hacked?
Proactive, get protection from impersonation with proactive account monitoring and secure your account with required two-factor authentication. But then you can do two factors
with normal ones.
But you also get direct account support. So say for example your account does get hacked, you can go directly to someone at, well, Meta now, and sort your issue out. Whereas
if that's interesting,
if you get hacked now, you have to go to their frequent ask thing, and then you have to probably sit in a queue. But if you pay the $11.99 a month, you can go straight to a direct person. They can help you out.
Okay, so you actually get to a real human. To be fair, that's probably worth the £11-12 a month anyway. I just didn't think anyone worked at Instagram ever, because there's no possible way. Like, I remember I had problems ages ago, and bro, I was trying to find a phone number or just an email. Even on LinkedIn, I couldn't find a single person that actually worked for the fucking company. Do you know what I mean? It's like, this thing's being run by AI.
Yeah, literally, there's a certain, like, they're hard to get hold of. For them, now they've put this in place, so like they're like, oh, you know what? If you pay per month, you can get through to us. But right. I get it. Like, for DJs anyway, if you're a big DJ, I don't know. Let's talk Rusky, for example. If he lost his account tomorrow, like, he's gonna be devastated in it. So he might be. I think Rusky was verified beforehand. I think, was he verified beforehand?
But maybe, I'm not actually sure.
Even if he wasn't, say for example, he got the verification now, and he lost his account, he can get that back in what a day. But if he got hacked by one of these Bitcoin hackers, like, his entire 42,000 followers on Instagram are just gone.
How do you know all his stats,
mate? Do you know what? I have a good memory of all these stats. It's like, yeah, like, I think it's 42,000, but yeah, like. I do
get that. It does add a sense of security for, especially like us as DJs, where we're running essentially, Instagram's like our webpage now.
Yeah.
Instagram's 100%. Our CV and our website and our customer contact form all rolled into one.
Yeah, but at the same time, yeah, people don't realize that in it. Like, it is our CV, but people need to be updating their CV a bit more. Like, I don't think these days DJs are putting out enough content.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not seeing enough DJ routines anymore. Like, I'm not putting them out myself, but I'm not seeing enough. I'm seeing a lot of, like, TikToks and I think you spoke about it before on the podcast. Like, people are putting out the standard basic mashups, but I don't think DJs are really showing off their skills these days.
Like, I don't think they have them. Respectfully, actually, no, I mean, that's disrespectful, but to be honest, like, I don't think the majority of DJs really have, like, the skills and the creativity. I think they have the potential to have it, but people are very lazy. Myself included. Like, I haven't learned any new skills in the last year.
Yeah, do you know what that is, I mean, though? Like, it's because you're busy. To be honest, we're all busy in it, but I think we, like, as DJs, we do need to, like, put time in for practice. Like, I say it all the time, even if it's half an hour a week, like, turn on your decks. But what you need to be careful of is with me as well, you turn on your decks, but then if you don't have a plan of what you're going to practice, you might just end up scratching for 30 minutes on the same beat.
Sometimes I think that's cool. Like, if you don't plan, like, just having a jam session. I haven't done that for the longest, but, like, just having a jam session, just chucking on some beats and then just scratching. Like, I think that's cool. That's fun to do. And then, like, you can just try new little bits. And that was where I never actually set out, like, right, today I'm going to learn this. I would just do little jam sessions by myself. And then if I tried something that I wasn't very good at, I was like, actually, you know what? I'm gonna keep doing this until I get it.
I start doing the scratching, then I get to the end of the half an hour, I'm like, I could have worked on something else then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I guess actually, like, knowing from when you've been on before, you formulate your time, don't you? You have you have very, very scheduled days. Like, your timing is very, so you only allow yourself half an hour. Whereas, like, for me, if I'm doing a jam session, I might be there 20 minutes, I might be there 3 hours. And it's just like, you know what? I've got time to kill. Let me jump on. Let me just mess around. But I mean, I need to do it again. CJ Beats said it as well. Like, he still does the whole practice hours thing. And like,
yeah, like, it doesn't matter what level you are, man. It doesn't matter what level you are. You need to still be practicing. Like, you could be the best DJ in the world. You could be DJing in front of like 30,000 people, whatever. But you still need to practice. Like, there's so many new things I want to learn. There's so many, like, so many, there's new scratches, there's new transitions. And like, even with me, I need to start practicing like certain sections of a night in a club. So say, for example, like, there's the hype section when you're playing all Dior and Mo Bamba and stuff like that. I want to get better at that section because I feel like I'm playing the same stuff and doing the same transitions all the time.
But do you think that's something that can be practiced? I mean, I guess it depends on your style of DJing. Because, like, for example, anything club related, I don't practice. Like, I don't sit. I won't set something up and be like, okay, I'm gonna do this song and then this song and then this song. Actually, the only exception to that is like when I'm touring. If I'm doing like a festival show and I know I've got like 15 minutes to get everyone jumping. So actually, okay, perfect example was Saturday when I did that festival I was telling you about before we started. I did Nameless Festival in Italy. And it was predominantly like an EDM festival. So like Skrillex was the headliner and everything around it was like drum and bass and dance orientated. Even the guy on before me, there's two guys, the duo on before me of DJs were playing drum and bass and everyone's going sick. So in my head, I'm like, okay, cool. Well, I've got a rap act that I'm going to bring out, which is like on drill tempo and drill energy. How do I even warm this up now? Because they're going from drum and bass to drill. They're going to be stood still or they're going to walk away. So I did plan that warm up set. And then while I was doing it, I actually changed direction and went on the fly with a couple of stuff I just chucked in. But yeah, I did prep that one. But for the clubs, nah, I just kind of just go with it.
See, with me, like, I feel like when I'm in the clubs, right, I'm on autopilot. So as soon as I jump into, like, say, for example, I'm like, okay, I'm going to drop Dior. I feel like I go in the same direction every single time because I'm on autopilot. And I feel like with me, when you drop Dior, there's so much energy on that track.
You need to
follow it with another track that's got more energy.
Yeah, it's hard to follow up that song.
Yeah. So you go from, like, say, Dior, then you go to Jumpman, right? You play Jumpman, and then you're like, what direction do you go next? So then in my head, I'm like, what do I play next? Then I panic and then I go back into autopilot and then play what I played maybe last week. And then I go in that same direction. But if I'm at home, but when I'm talking about my practice session, because I'm a lot more relaxed at home, I might play Dior, but then I can look at my library a little bit for a little bit longer and be like, you know what? Instead of playing Jumpman, I can now play, I don't know, Welcome to the Party, for example, or another one of Pop Smoke's tracks, or I can mix in like a Drake tune or whatever. But then what I'll do is I'm like, you know what, this could work in the club. So instead of me going on autopilot in the club, I can play these tracks instead. So what I'll do is I'll, in my jam session at home, I'll set a crate like hip hop set one, then it will start with Dior, but then it's got the tracks kind of in order. What I play. So then so when I go to the clubs, I can try something a bit different. And then instead of being in the autopilot mode that I'm always in, if that makes sense.
It does make perfect sense. It is very easy to fall into that trap where you know what songs work. And you know, like, for example, like you said, like if you play Dior and you know dropping Jumpman next, they're going to go off. And then you know dropping Keisha Becky after that, they're going to go off. And then you know what comes after that, they're going to go off. If you know that they're going to go off after everyone, like, it's very difficult to come out of that. I get around that by having three or four different options in my head of where to go after a song. So for example, I've got a couple of like BPM transition tricks that I do where I'll loop a certain part of the song, cut it a little bit, and then drop a next song which is a different BPM, and then keep cutting it to the new BPM. And I don't know if this is making sense how I'm explaining it, but I have, so for example, Jay-Z and Kanye Paris. I do that with that song. And I can go, there's a transition I do into like 85 BPM, but I also have a version where I can stay on 70 BPM and it still goes off. And I have a version where I can get up to 100 BPM and it still goes off. And because of the style of track, if I'm doing an open format night, I can even jump into 126 and do house.
Yeah.
I can pretty much transition to any BPM from that trick, if that makes sense. But I know, like, I've got four that go off. And so what I do is, I don't always do that trick out of that song either, because I want to keep people guessing. I don't want it, you know, it's like, I don't want to be the DJ where people know the song that's coming next. So that's why I have a lot of different options there. But yeah, I think that's one way to do it. And I guess you're right, doing the practice hours at home and doing the jam sessions at home, that's where you can figure out the other options and
the
what
other
works.
Options. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like I like. Don't get me wrong. I can do the 70 BPM, but I feel like 70 BPM up, 70 to 80 BPM is my weak point. I get like I always do it. Like I've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
I drop Dior, and every single time I'm like, shit. How am I gonna keep this energy up? But then at the same time, it's like, how do I get out of this? Because obviously you can play energy for so long, but then you need to change it. So you need to try and figure out. But then I always end up going like, I'll play Dior, run a few tunes, but then I'll find my get out track. So it'll always be like God's Plan or All I Do Is Win. So then when he goes, and you know me, turn the 02 into the 03. When it says that bit, I take the volume down, let the crowd sing, then I drop a completely different track. And
right,
it's the same with All I Do Is Win. Hands up,
go
silent.
Go up. Yeah. That's the standard one. Yeah. All right, you know, I just had this. I don't know if it was my idea or if someone's already thought of this. You know what would be a sick feature on Serato?
Go on.
You know how Spotify has this AI built in now, and I don't know too much about it, but they've basically launched Spotify DJ, which is like an AI DJ that it will basically not DJ in the sense of like mixing and stuff, but it will curate playlists that make sense together.
Makes it. Yeah.
Imagine if there was a way for using AI in Serato. So that if you're in your crates and you double click a song, and it opens up a new window with options of songs that would be banging
like,
next.
So that would be sick.
If it was able to detect like the energy in the song, which obviously like you can't detect human energy if you're AI, but do you know what I mean? Like even just like you could set like what factors do I want? I want the BPMs to match. I want the type of the bass frequencies, I want them to match. And now we're staying in drill. Do you know what I mean? And like that kind of sit. If you imagine if you could double tap that and then it just boop, a little window pops up and you've got now five options of where you can go.
Where you want to go. Yeah, see, you need to talk to Blakey, mate.
Yeah.
Put it in a group. I'm pretty sure they must be working on some sort of AI thing. Like I know one record pool, Heavy Hits, they do something like that. You click the track and it gives you tracks that may fit with it, like harmonically or in the same BPM and stuff like that.
That's exactly what I mean. Yeah. So like if you're a house DJ, you could tap it and then it'll give you the options of songs that are in key. Do you know what I mean? Like this song would work because it's like,
But then if you start, but if you start incorporating too much AI into DJ software, DJs are not going to start thinking for themselves anymore, isn't it?
That is the thing. That is the downside to my suggestion is that like we've already got sync, which means people don't have to mix. And now if we're adding something where they don't even have to pick the next song themselves.
Yeah.
Like we're now one step away from robots just taking the job completely because now you don't even need a human there. Like fuck that guy. Do you know what I mean? Just a laptop with legs.
Yeah. Soon enough, you can just say to ChatGPT, you know what? Here's a list of these songs. Mick, do 4-bar intros. When it gets to the chorus, mix it in halfway, blend it out, echo it out, and that's it.
My friend, DJ Pedro actually sent me. I looked through it, but I'm not into the AI stuff. I haven't got ChatGPT. Like, I'll be honest, bro. I don't even know how to access it. But my friend Pedro, he sent me a script the other day that I don't know if he typed it in or if ChatGPT gave it to him. But it was basically, hang on, let me find it so I'm not paraphrasing. Where is it? Hold on one second. Here's an example of a wordplay mix using Travis Scott's song Sicko Mode. So yeah, he's basically put into the AI, give me wordplay mixes using Sicko Mode. And it's given here three different options. Number one, transition from Sicko Mode to No Limit by G-Eazy. In Sicko Mode, there's a line that goes Astro, yeah. You can loop the word Astro and match it with the intro of No Limit where G-Eazy raps, if I hit it one time, I'm a piper. I'm reading this as we go for everyone listening, by the way. That's why I'm talking so slow. By focusing on the repeated word yeah in both tracks, you can create a wordplay mix.
See, that's crazy. I didn't even know you could do that.
No, transition from Sicko Mode to Mo Bamba by Sheck Wes. In Sicko Mode, there's a line that goes, she's in love with who I am. You can loop the word am and transition into the opening of Mo Bamba, where Sheck Wes chants, "Bitch, I'm Mo Bamba." By matching the repeated word "am" in one song with the repeated name Bamba, Bam, Ba, in the other, you can create a wordplay mix. So am, put it into bam.
That's crazy. I didn't know.
It's literally giving you the cheat codes to how to do these things. I don't really understand the G-Eazy one. I don't think that works so well.
Yeah, I guess you got to try it, innit? But yeah, ChatGPT, I don't know, man. I don't even know where that came from. But yeah, it dropped. And then I think it got like a million users in the first day.
Mad.
Like, honestly, it's crazy, bro. Like, it's just like you can type in literally anything. Like, I've been using it a lot. Like, when it first came out, a lot of people were talking about it. But when I tried going on it, because there were so many users on it, it wouldn't let you in.
Right, yeah.
So I kind of just forgot about it. But then I started, now it's all fine. I started using it for like little bits of work. And honestly, bro, it is a game changer. Like, you can use it in all, like literally all aspects of life. For example, like I thought of a little business idea the other day. I typed in the idea and I was like, write me a business plan. It wrote me a business plan.
Fuck off.
Like, yeah, swear to God. And then from that, I was like, based on this business plan, could you create me a website? It gave me the HTML and the CSS. I put it into my program. It gave me the website. I just have to add in like obviously images and stuff like that.
Mm.
And it's just like, you can literally build anything from just typing a few things. Like, it will literally give you everything you need to a certain extent in it.
I'm very conflicted when it comes to AI, yeah?
Mm.
I think it's incredible. And for like very laborious tasks and stuff like that, I think that's amazing.
Mm.
But I do think it's making us stupid.
Yeah, facts. It's
I think the mixture of Google, which again is an incredible tool. I use it every day for so much stuff.
Mm.
Like, me and my son will be sat down having random conversations. Suddenly we need to find out whether or not spiders go to sleep. So cool, you know what? Let's jump on Google. Do spiders sleep? Mm. Like, do you know what I mean? Just rant, like, I use it daily for all sorts. And it's you can find out anything. But I can't even remember the answer to whether or not spiders can sleep because my brain doesn't need to remember anything anymore.
Yeah.
Because if I need to find out again suddenly if spiders go to sleep, I just go quickly on Google and I type in again, do spiders sleep? I'm actually going to find out now. Everyone listening actually needs to know the answer to this. Do spiders sleep? Someone asked, do spiders sleep at night, as if they have a preference. They rest, but they don't sleep. They like basically go on standby. But yeah. So having Google there has taken away our need to retain information. It's taken away the need to learn.
Yeah, literally. You don't need to know anything anymore, innit? Because you can just type in Google.
That's exactly my point. And that coupled with Instagram. Like, my Instagram use is through the roof, brother. Like, I'm so disgustingly addicted to Instagram. Like, it is horrible. But what, like, an actual consequence of that is my attention span is in bits.
Yeah.
Like, I can't read a book more than 5 pages without getting bored.
I can't focus anymore. Like, I've had to, DJing, even with, like, organizing my music library, I can't do that for more than, like, 5 minutes at the moment because a notification will pop up on my screen, on my phone.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, and then you find a good thread on Twitter, then you're replying.
Yeah.
It's mad. It's actually mad. And to the extent where I've got this. This is a phone lockbox.
No way.
Bro, you put in the top the time that you want. For example, this morning.
Yeah.
I started my day job. So from 9 to 11, I wanted to make sure that I was focused.
Yeah.
I put my phone in there for 2 hours. I set the timer on. You can't get into it. Unless you smash it with a hammer, you can't get into it.
What if someone calls?
Well, I've got an Apple Watch next to me. So if someone does call, I can answer from my watch.
And okay,
I can plug my AirPods in. So basically, I've got it on Do Not Disturb. And there's like six important people that need to ring me.
Yeah.
So if that call comes through, I can answer it on my watch and then put it in my AirPods and answer it.
But, okay, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, but the honestly,
you can't get to the screen.
Yeah, you can't get to it. I can't believe how my focus just shifted this morning. Like, I was just fully involved in my Zoom meetings and my work I was doing. But before, I'd be in like a meeting. I'm like, I pick up my phone. I see who's on Instagram. See who's on Twitter.
I'm gonna get one. I'm gonna get one because Like I say, the other thing as well, this thing about Instagram and me, how often I'm on Instagram, it's obliterated my attention span. Even to a point like I think I might have ADD now. Do you know what I mean? Like even just that thing that just happened with the spiders sleeping. Why am I like, I'm in the middle of a podcast. Why am I Googling if spiders sleep? It's because my brain's like, yeah, we need to find out. Like it's all over the place, bruv. Like it is mad. Like, and I can't sit through a film.
See, I can. I just have to put my phone down and put it. But obviously when my phone vibrates,
yeah, that's
like,
it.
I'm thinking to myself, what is that? And I try and just switch off because, but for DJs, I think it's different because when you get a message, you're like, could that be a booking? Could that be something?
Yeah, yeah.
And if you don't get to it straight away, you could miss it. Because the amount of times I've maybe left my phone in the other room and I've had maybe a phone call or a text message, I've got back 2 hours later and they're like, oh, you know what? We found another DJ.
Yeah, yeah, precisely that. That's happened to me a couple of times before as well.
So I think that's what we're conditioned to as DJs, because when you first start as a DJ, you're a brand new DJ, you're constantly on Instagram because you're literally waiting for that first booking or you're waiting for them first few bookings. Mm. So anytime your phone vibrates, you think it's a booking.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, facts.
Or it's something big. But then you'll open it up and it's just like Facebook. Oh, I don't know. Someone's mum's just like the picture of a cat or something. Like, I mean, because Facebook just notifies you when like a random person likes a random person's photo. Like it doesn't even have to do anything with you anymore.
Yeah. So because of the notifications, I actually don't have Facebook on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I deleted Twitter from my phone as well. Yeah. And the reason I did that is because both of those apps work perfectly well from the laptop.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I have Instagram on my phone is because the desktop version of Instagram is crap.
Yeah, that's right.
And to be honest, adding to stories, like I don't want to be sat at an airport pulling my laptop out to take a photo with the laptop camera of me boarding a plane. Like that's just dumb throwaway content that I just chuck on my story. So it is handy. But that's the only reason I still have Instagram on my phone. Mm. If the desktop one was fine, I would just use desktop on Instagram. And I wouldn't have it on my phone. And I feel like my attention and my focus mode would shift and I'd be good again. But
honestly, the social media apps, honestly, they kill our attention span, man. It's like, I have to, I've tried before deleting all the apps off my phone, but then I just end up just going on the computer and just like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. I limit my time on the laptop now. Do you know what I mean? Like I go on the laptop to do like work, and then if I'm on the laptop doing work, the work gets done, then I'm coming off the laptop again. So I try not to get lost, because the other thing is I used to, maybe it's not just Instagram, maybe I just have attention span issues and focus issues, because I used to somehow end up in like down rabbit holes on World Star Hip Hop watching gunfights in America or people on trains in India electrocuting themselves and stuff like that, like all these mad different videos that pop up, and I'm just
Yeah, but like I think with all the apps that's come out now, like especially TikTok, innit, like they've just battered our attention spans because the videos are so short. Like there could be a video on there for 7 seconds and it'll probably get to 3 seconds. I'm like, nah, I'm bored. You know what I mean, like it's so bad. Because basically, like what they say, because I've been looking at a lot of like TikTok and how to obviously go viral and stuff like that, and it's like the first 3 seconds need to be something quite special. Like it needs to catch your attention. Because after 3 seconds, if it's not interested, people will just swipe up and go. So
it's depressing, bro. It makes me so sad.
If the tips are saying you need to capture their attention in 3 seconds, what's that saying about people's attention spans? It's mad.
One, two, three. That's that long. That's literally that long.
Literally. And this is why, like, I think this is why what some DJs don't think of. When you're posting on TikTok, a lot of DJs are like, how come I haven't gone viral? I'm just like, is the first 3 seconds interesting? Because someone will look at the video, and if it's just you standing there, maybe bopping your head to a song before you blend it, they don't care. Especially like the general public as well, innit? Like, the general public want to hear their favorite song straight away. It's like, say for example, I don't know, you're doing a TikTok with the song Umbrella Rihanna, right? You need to hit it right on the chorus when she's singing, then people might catch your attention. But if you started on her verse, people are like, you know what? This is boring, scroll off.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think a lot of DJs need to like know that, yeah, the first 3 seconds are so important.
But you know what though? I think if you're first of all, I think don't try and go viral. Your content's gonna go viral or it's not. I don't think it's something you can plan. And like, for example, shouts to Shorty Bless. Like, he went viral this week.
Oh,
You must have seen the video. The pull-ups video. Like, Shorty's a very good friend of mine, yeah. So when I was chatting to him about it, he didn't do that to go viral.
He just done it.
It was literally, and it was kind of just on the night, on a bit of a whim, he just decided just to record some stuff and then like, and then suddenly got a money pull up. Then he got a next money pull up, but it's all on camera. So it's circumstantial. He hasn't planned that. Like, there's just so many factors around that. And the fact that it was the Taliban's tune, biggest summer record at the moment. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, there's so many different factors surrounding his content there that just work. That's one of the biggest songs on social media, right? I mean, in the world, but like on in the real world, I mean, but social media as well.
Yeah,
It's
so I
one that's
think
just resonating. So it's hitting the algorithms because it's got the right audio. It's also something like his caption in there, how to make £100 in 1 minute or something like that. People are going to see that and be like, what?
Yeah, so that's
That
what I
takes me
was
3 days to earn that
gonna
shit.
say,
Like, how the fuck? Do you know what I mean? So it's like so many different factors. But even then, it wasn't guaranteed to go viral. It's only because I'm just bait saw it and thought, you know what? Sick. We're going to leech off that. We're going to post it. Boom. Now all the other sites that copied I'm just bait, now they all post it as well. Now you've got a viral video.
Yeah, it's
Like,
crazy, man. Like, I think, yeah, I think it's if I think his caption was important. Like, you saw it, how to make £100 in 3 minutes or something like that. I think it was, innit?
That's right.
So
3 minutes.
as a DJ, so his audience for that TikTok was DJs, I think. So then you see it, and the DJ will see that and be like, how the hell has he done that? So they'll watch it all the way through. And then also, because Taliban's is one of the biggest tunes, the general public are also going to latch onto that video as well. So then more and more audience got to it. The more people that watched it all the way through, pushed out to the algorithm. And then obviously I'm just bait got a whiff of it, but out to it. So yeah. So yeah. Big up
But
Shorty Bless, man. Big up Shorty Bless.
yeah, 100%. But it's organic content, do you know what I mean? And he doesn't even show his face in it either. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's just organic, I feel like unplanned content, bang, went viral. Right. And I think stuff like that, like you can't force something to go viral, I don't think.
Yeah,
It
no,
just either it does or it doesn't.
it's all based on timing as well. Because if he would have posted that video, I don't know, say midnight, it might not have done as well.
Yeah, facts.
Because like I don't know what time he posted it, but it's all based on, like, say for example, all of his followers on TikTok were on at that time. Because basically, what happens with TikTok is like the video goes out and it gets sent out to a certain amount of people. If a percentage of that people watch it like all the way through, then it will push it out to a bigger audience than a bigger audience. So if he would have posted that out at midnight, it wouldn't have gone to a big audience, and then it would have just died.
So
So
is that on TikTok? Is that posting at 6 p.m. all of that
yeah,
stuff? That is that still a thing? So I remember a few
that's
years ago that was like people were waiting, like you'd get nothing all day. No one would drop all day, and then like 6:15 p.m. everyone's just dropping their content. Like
yeah, literally,
that's
because if
still a
you got
thing, yeah.
yeah, because if you go onto that, because you can see your analytics on TikTok, and you can see when your followers are mostly online. So mine is 9 p.m. So what they say is like you can either post at 9 a.m., but it's best to post it maybe just an hour before, so your content gets put out, but then everyone starts to come online. Then when it hits 9 o'clock, all your followers are online, they'll see your video, and then they've all watched it. If it's a good bit of content, because the main important thing with content is retention. So getting people to watch it all the way through. If your video, if people, because I've done a lot of research on all these algorithms. So there's not actually someone at TikTok watching your video and being like, you know what, I'm gonna make it go viral. Literally, they're looking at a stat, which is the retention. If a batch of people are watching 70% of the video, it means it's a good video. So they'll be like, okay, it's got to this. Let me just turn the algorithm on and let me give it out to 10,000 more people. If 10,000 people now watch 70% again, fuck it, let's put it to 100,000 people, million people. You get it?
Yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, it's obviously not a person that's doing that. It will be AI or whatever you want to call it that does it in the background. But ultimately, TikTok's goal is to keep people on TikTok.
Yeah, because
so if people are watching a 15, 20 second, 30 second, 40 second, 50 second, minute long video all the way through, that's keeping them on TikTok.
Yeah.
So then it is going to push it out to more people, isn't it? Because they're staying there and then TikTok benefit from that.
Yeah, because the longer someone's on TikTok, the more money they make, because TikTok make money on ads and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, yeah. But so, also the less time the people are spending on Instagram and YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
The more you're on TikTok, the less you're on the other apps. That's what TikTok wants.
Yeah, so this is why, like, it's mad as well on TikTok. I think I've read that as soon as you open the app, the 10 videos that you swipe has already been planned as soon as you open the app, because they know exactly what you want and they're trying to keep you on the platform. Like, it's all ready for you. And I also read as well, I don't know how good this is, but how true this is, but when you're on TikTok, apparently they record your face or record your voice. So if you're laughing, they'll take that into consideration. Then they'll give you more content that you laughed at.
I think I'm going to be sick. the thing is, yeah, that sounds so far-fetched, but it also at the same time doesn't.
Yeah, mate. It's
it mad. Really doesn't sound far-fetched. Like, that's what these tech companies are capable of.
Yeah, trust me.
It's like, mad. I remember hearing it on Joe Rogan's thing once. Again, because my brain's shot to pieces, I can't remember the full details. But you know the T's and C's that no one ever reads when we sign up to new apps? Mm-hmm. TikTok take so much data from your phone.
Yep.
Because you say, yeah, that's fine. Of course you can take the data, because it says agree at the bottom of that huge, massive contract that you have to read that no one reads. Just scroll quickly to, I'm exactly the same. I scroll quickly to the bottom. I want to get on here. Just, yeah, accept all, doesn't care. You now own my soul and my house and my firstborn child belongs to TikTok because they've just agreed to it all. But yeah, they're allowed, they have access to the phones and like, there's some mad shit. I can't actually even remember the details, but like I say, they covered it on Joe Rogan's podcast and I was like, holy shit, that is mental because it's so intrusive. But at the same time, it's not, because you're saying, yeah, of course. The way to stop them is to not just be on there.
Yeah, honestly. And no one's reading them privacy notices or whatever, because they're too long. Like, you download an app, that you download a viral app. You don't want to sit there for a day or two reading this flipping thing.
I can't even watch a video for more than 3 seconds, bruv. What do you mean? Like, of course I'm not reading a whole legal document that you've just put long words in just to keep me bored. Like, yeah. Crazy. It's malicious, man. Let's just have a reset and go back to old school times before screens.
Yeah, honestly. Like, remember the days of bloody 3210s when we didn't have bloody 3210s.
Was that the snake? Was that Nokia when they had the snake?
Yeah. Nokia 3210, 3310, all them good times, mate.
Yeah. Absolute vibes. Very, very quickly, actually, there was one thing I was going to say, just going all the way back to the blue tick thing, I actually was going to do the blue tick thing on Instagram. I was actually going to do that. And for the reasons I mentioned at the start, because I did think there was some benefits, and where I'm about to relaunch the interviews and stuff, like, I wanted my thing to be like out there, but you have to send ID.
Oh, like a driver's license or something.
Or a passport or something. And I think, like, first of all, I do have a bit of an issue with these big tech companies having that much data.
Yeah.
Like, on the Apple, on my iPhone, I don't have facial recognition to unlock it.
Do you not?
Nope, and I don't have the fingerprint thing either.
Oh, bloody hell.
Old-fashioned PIN number, mate. That's me. and, I mean, to be honest, my thumb's been all over the screen, so Apple probably still have my data there. And I'm looking at my phone all day long anyway, so they're taking pictures of my face. They know what my face is, and they've got it all stored. But, yeah, I don't know. I just have a bit of a problem with allowing these tech. If they're going to just take it anyway, they're going to just take it. But if I allow them to have all of my data, like, eventually they're going to have your eyeballs scanned, you know, the retina scans, and then they're going to have your blood type, and then, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just all gonna get a bit mad.
Yeah, they will. So, they will have your eye scan, because you've seen the new the vision, the new, what's it called, the virtual reality thing from Apple.
Yeah, I saw one thing about it, but I don't know what all the details are, but yeah, that's just gonna scan your eyeballs.
Scan your eyes, yeah. So honestly, it's crazy. But with the No, go on.
So the blue tick. So the one reason I decided not to is because if you pay for the blue tick, you have to have your real name in your profile.
Really?
Yeah. So you can, I'll keep DJ Double and keep my handle as DJ Double Official, but underneath your profile photo. So for anyone, if you want to know if someone's paid for a blue tick, go on their profile. And if their real name is under the photo,
yeah,
they've paid for the blue tick. And it's a way of like authenticating that you are that real person. But for me, apart from occasional moments with my son, my personal life stays off Instagram.
Yeah.
A lot of people do know my name anyway. I mean, it's actually on Facebook as it happens, but like, I don't really want my name out on Instagram. Like DJ Double is the brand. That's the product. Yeah. And that's what I want on Instagram. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I just thought, I don't want my real name there.
Yeah.
Because just more data on me out in the real world. Like, I don't really want that. So that's why I just decided, you know what? I'm not going to bother doing it.
Yeah. I'm in two minds whether to do it because I got a few plans going forward of things I want to do, and I feel like a blue tick would be beneficial.
Yeah.
But I'll make the decision when I get to it. But for now, I'm happy with the blue tick on Twitter.
Yeah. How would you feel about your real name just being on Instagram, just there? Is it even that deep for you? Like, it's not.
It's not that deep. But I just feel like people just don't need to know my name. I don't care if people know my name, but yeah. I just feel like it doesn't need to be there, innit? Like, I don't know why that needs to be there, but
yeah.
It's not a problem, but I know it would just be weird. Like, yeah, like you said, the brand is DJCB, but why is my name there? And you can't you can't even hide it. If you can't hide it as well, like, or maybe in the future they'd be like, oh, to hide this, you have to spend an extra $1.99.
Yeah. The secret verification, and you just spend like, now it's $15.99 a month, and your name doesn't show up.
Yeah,
but see, that's the thing. I would do it because I do think there's more benefits. The benefits outweigh £12 a month.
Yeah. Facts.
If you use it properly. But I just don't want my real name just bait there on my profile. And again, when I really think about it, I don't know why it's weird, but it's just weird.
Yeah, some people don't like giving out their government name. Like, people just like, there's a lot of DJs I don't even know their real name. It's crazy, isn't it? Like, you can meet a DJ and you just know them as DJ X.
Like. Yeah. So like, literally the whole community of DJ friends, majority of them, I don't even know their first names. Like,
yeah, then you hear their name and you're like, huh? What?
Yeah.
And it's weird trying to call them by their normal name, so you just end up just calling them by their DJ name. Like, the amount of people that just call me CB. Like, that's...
Yeah, it's CB, isn't it? CB.
No one needs to know my real name. Like, and when they hear my real name, they're like, oh, is it? Oh, just carry on calling you CB. It's cool.
Yeah. Okay, here's a beautiful segue. Someone that does use their real name is Jeremiah.
Oh, next hell. You
see this?
Yeah. Do you know what? I was actually with Jeremiah that week because at my residency on a Wednesday, Royal Holloway, he was, we had like an artist there called Governor B, I think his name was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Governor B.
Yeah. And Jeremiah was his DJ.
Is he a gospel artist or like a singer?
He wasn't a singer. He's a rapper. Well, he was rapping on the night anyway.
Oh, okay.
And
so I've heard like a gospel track by Governor B.
Yeah,
G-U-V-N-A-B.
G-U-N... Hang on.
G-U-V.
Oh. Yeah, G-U-V-N-A-B. Yeah.
Governor B. Yeah. I swear I've heard him singing before. But anyway, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, so I was DJing, so I didn't know Jeremiah was coming out. So I looked to my right and he was there. He just pulled his face that he was actually pulling in that video we're about to talk about.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn. And then he DJed for Governor B and then I jumped back on. But the video, I'll just say the cameraman done him dirty.
I'll tell you what, so just in case anyone hasn't seen it, Jeremiah's in, I don't know what stadium it is, but it's a very, very big football stadium. Was it the FA Cup? Is that what
It's at Wembley. It's at Wembley for the Emirates FA Cup, yeah.
Yeah, so it was the FA Cup final. And part of the big show, they had an 80-piece military band playing on the pitch. And then Jeremiah was DJing for the event as well. So there was like a mashup of a few anthems that happened while the band was playing. Now, the cameraman's angle panned up a bit and it showed that Jeremiah's there, he's doing his thing, he's DJing. all of the faders were down. So like he wasn't really DJing. So the DJ community have taken hold of this clip and gone absolutely ham. They've been going in.
They ripped him. And the problem was, so I was out for lunch when I saw this tweet and I was fuming because where I was, I couldn't get enough signal. So I saw one comment and I was like, how is he getting dragged like this? But I couldn't load the rest. I was trying to see what else it was. Because one person went in on him and was like, how are you DJing with all the faders down? I didn't know this is how you DJ. And I was like, you can't be slating him like that, man. But the cameraman done him dirty. But I think the people that were watching, that watched the clip quickly, they don't know what goes into what happens at Wembley. Like,
yeah, precisely. Like, so first of all, what's your thoughts on seeing that clip?
When I first saw it, I thought it was sick. Like, DJing at Wembley, that's up there with some of the things I want to do. Do you know what I mean? Like, as a DJ, that's a big thing. And he's DJing in front of, I don't know, how many people are at Wembley?
80,000.
So the thing is, when I first saw the clip, I wasn't even looking at the faders.
Mm-hmm.
But I know when I started looking at it a bit more, I know that there was obviously a reason why he probably wasn't playing. Because everything, I feel like when it's something that big, it needs to be planned. So they probably had a backing track. Because I don't know how they control the music inside Wembley or whatever, but they probably had it all pre-planned.
Yeah.
So they had the track playing and then the band was playing over the track. But I personally think, like, it's fine with me. Like, but I just feel like the DJ community just ripped him because they saw it and just want... I feel like some people just wanted, what's the word, to get a few retweets. Because a lot of people did get retweets from it, but... For me, I feel like they were too harsh on him, man. But it did not help with the camera angles.
They done him dirty. Do you remember there was... Sorry, I'm going to just sidetrack a little bit and then I'll come straight back to this. But do you remember there was a clip a few months ago of a guy on a festival stage and he just had the front. He didn't even have the decks and he was pretending to reach into the decks.
Yeah,
it was that kind of camera angle. There was no decks. But basically, I think my personal opinion is like, Jeremiah did his thing. Like, it was cool. I think a lot of people don't understand what goes on behind the scenes at these massive shows, especially when they're televised.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've done a stadium show before where I was pretend DJing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is why I'm saying, and it's because, like, but when that was proposed to me, I was properly like, no, why? Like, why the fuck? I'm a sick DJ. Like, I'm not going to... I don't care. Like, there was 80,000 people there as well. Like, I don't care. I'm not going to buckle in front of 80,000. Like, I've got this. I do this. Like, this is me. I'm cool. But then they explained, no, it's not about whether you're good enough or not. They were like, it's being broadcast live on radio across the world on YouTube and TikTok. And everything needs to be... absolutely perfect timing wise. Like it cannot even, it cannot even be 2 seconds out. Because of what they have planned. They had video content planned to go with the stuff. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, once you explain it, it's like, okay, cool. So the way it works is there's like an area with like a broadcast team who are in charge of all the music production and visual production and stuff. Because that's the other thing. When you've got visual side of it to go along as well, or maybe even like pyrotechnics or fireworks or stuff like this, other production elements that have to go on bang on time with the music, like it's all got to be down to a split second timing. You can't do that as one person's DJing, one person's pushing buttons. Because furthermore, the sound in Wembley Stadium, when you realize how the sound bounces around the stadium, that in itself is mad.
Yeah.
But so basically the music's controlled by a team who are just out of sight and they're just dealing with all thingy. But obviously it just adds to the aesthetic, doesn't it, of having a DJ. Now, Jeremiah can DJ. I've worked with him before. I've known him for a few years now. Like,
that's what I mean. Like, I was literally with him last week. I saw him DJ in it. Do you know what I mean? So
we're
both aware that he can DJ. So when we see it, we know that we're like, rah, he's doing Wembley. Big him up or whatever. And we know he can DJ, but the wider DJ community, I don't know if it's the jealous DJ community or the less
I think experience. I think it's, you know what, I think it is a mixture. I think it's, but also it's not, playing at Wembley, that's not like an everyday experience. That's not something that, unless you've done it, you might not know how it works.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the guys understanding now how it works, that actually, you know what? That wasn't even Jeremiah's choice to not DJ live. I'm pretty sure, given the option, he probably would have been like, yeah, I can do that. That's fine. As most of us would, given the option, yeah, I'll push the buttons and mix live. Yeah. But like, when you're told by someone, the head of production telling you, no, you're not pushing, you're not letting the music play. We do that. Yeah. You're there for aesthetics. What are you going to be like? Well, no, I'm a real DJ. So fuck you and your Wembley gig. You know what? I'm not doing it because I'm a real DJ. Like, okay, cool. So we're just getting the next person then.
Exactly.
And now look, you've just missed an opportunity to actually get content and do your thing at Wembley Stadium. Whether you're really pushing the buttons or not, it doesn't matter in that instance.
Yeah.
Like,
and he was DJing before that anyway, because I think someone said that he was DJing before the band come out and he was actually DJing and afterwards as well.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? So, but people just saw that clip and was like, oh, he must just be a fake DJ. But I think like a lot of people also, because of the energy he was putting in, you saw him in the video, he's like his arms up and stuff like that. I think a lot of people were like, yeah, this DJ is just fake, man. Like, look at him, he's trying to pretend, but that was all for aesthetics. Like,
that's the thing.
He had to be like that because it's being broadcast on TV. Imagine he was like, you know, some of us when we're DJing, we are just stood there, straight face, concentrating. You can't do that when you're being broadcast on BBC.
The camera's in his face and he's part of the show.
Yeah.
Exactly. What's he going to do? Just stand there like a cardboard cutout because he's not the one doing the mashup live. That's a silly thing to suggest. Like, I feel like these, like a lot of people, I would say quite boldly, 99% of the people that were cussing him for fake DJing, if they were given the option, to do that exact same job, and they were told, yeah, but you won't be DJing, you will just be standing by the mixer and you have to just pretend, they'd be like, yeah, cool. That's fine. I don't mind doing that.
Yeah, they will do it.
The other thing is, did you hear the mashup that was playing? It was obviously part of a show, like a planned mashup that goes with the live band. You've got an 80-piece military band. There's 80 people, right? Do you know how difficult it would be to do that mashup live?
Yeah, I know.
Jumping from those songs and having those songs, and you make one error and you have 80 people playing along to you. Like, yeah. And furthermore, the acoustics of a stadium are fucked. Like, bro, if you can't mix without in ears, even just booth monitors are not good enough. Do you know what I mean? Like, the acoustics, especially in Wembley, are mad. Mm. So like, people need to take this stuff into account when they think, okay, well, this is a part of the show that has to be absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Like,
People just wanted to drag him. Like, literally, the amount, the comments I saw, man, even from some DJs that like I follow and rate as well, it's like, it just wasn't needed.
Yeah.
It just wasn't needed, man.
It shows a lack of understanding and knowledge about actually really what goes on these big shows. Because not everyone gets the big show bookings. Not everyone, like a very small percentage of DJs have played at stadiums.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? But, so it's like,
did you see his tweet after? I think it was a couple of days later. Faders up. See you at Glastonbury.
Yeah, bad man. Sick guy. Sick guy for doing that. And I think, like, for moments like that, where obviously you've got so much negativity coming at you on social media and stuff from clearly people that don't understand what's going on. That's such a sick response. Yeah. Because you know how easy it would be to get, bro, I think I'd be going to war.
Yeah, like the thing is, I can imagine. I don't know if he definitely did, but he was feeling shit that day. Like,
most likely, yeah.
Yeah, I've had negative comments come towards me, and like it will be half of what he got. It makes you feel shit, and you're like, you're contemplating, like, bro, man, do I actually want to be a DJ anymore?
Yeah, and now imagine that. Yeah, he's just played at Wembley to 80,000 people, and at an FA Cup final, which I hate football, so I don't care. But if you're a football fan. And now you've DJed at a sold out Wembley at an FA Cup final. Bro, imagine being a DJ/football fan. That's like life goal, literally dream come true. That is one of the best things that's going to happen in your career. Mm. And now what? You've got all the associated negativity with it because all these salty guys are like, the faders were down. Shut the fuck up, man. Let him just enjoy. If you don't like it, block him and don't ever look at his content ever again.
Yeah,
facts. Like, you don't have to get onto him, and it's just dumb, man.
I think he deleted the because I think BBC obviously put it out, and then I think he retweeted it, but I think he deleted his retweet because it was just getting too much.
Well,
and
that's,
it's sad, man. But big up Jeremiah, man. Like, he's a bad boy DJ, and like, obviously he DJed before that video. He DJed after. He DJed at Wembley Stadium, like you said, for FA Cup final, man. That's goals. Yeah. And like, I know a lot of DJs are football fans or whatever, so. That's a lot of goals for a lot of DJs that are in the community, man. Do you know what I mean?
I'll say it now, I've played at Wembley Stadium before to a sold-out Wembley Stadium, and guess what? My faders were down too. Like, come chat to me. Tell me I'm a fake DJ. You can't. Because guess what? I did Wembley Stadium to 80,000 people, and I wasn't really DJing because it's all part of the show, dickheads. Actually, but to be fair, he should have had the faders up. I actually made a point. I'm just going to add this last bit. I made a point when I did that and I knew that I wasn't going to be in control of like playback. I actually made a point of saying there needs to be power and there needs to be cables. It needs to look like I am controlling everything. I even went as far as putting a USB in and having, this is how I was so attention to detail, bro. Even the songs that were playing out, I had playing on the CDJ.
On the CDJ, yeah.
So that the red lights on the mixer would be jumping up and down in case there was any close-ups. And I had the thingy. So if you ever watch that show back, it will you wouldn't be able to tell that I wasn't.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
Yeah, the faders being down was mad, but like maybe, I don't know, maybe he got caught off guard. Maybe like when it was that time and he thought, you know what, I just need to shut them down. But if he maybe thought about it a little bit more, he could have turned on the master, kept everything up on the channel faders. You know what I mean? Like,
I think when you're in that instance, 80,000 people, bro. And if you've just been doing a live set and now there's something else being played, you're going to want the faders down just so you don't accidentally play a song over the top. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, obviously the playback team will have cut off the master, the mixer anyway, and they'll have their thing going out and then put it back. But yeah, I think, I mean, if that's the biggest mistake he made, he just had the faders down. If imagine he just had one fader up, no one would have known any different.
Yeah, literally. But it's just because all four faders were down in it, everyone just went at him. But
big up Jeremiah, though. That is an incredible achievement, man. He DJ'd at the FA Cup final.
Yeah,
with an 80 piece military band.
Big up Jeremiah, man.
Levels. Honestly. Absolute levels. Have you got time?
Me, I've got plenty of time, man.
Cool.
Plenty of time.
Do you take requests?
It all depends. It all depends on where I am and what the request is, because I've obviously had the mad ABBA request that made me go a bit viral on Twitter.
Wait, what was it? I didn't see that. I don't really go on Twitter too much.
So a couple of months, well, I think it was last year or maybe the year before, I can't remember. I put a tweet up of a girl. There's two pictures. So the girl says, play ABBA.
Yeah.
And then the other one was like, I'll take my bra off. Right? I posted them two videos. And I put, the caption was midway through dancehall and it went viral, right? So I was playing dancehall. I can't remember what I was playing. But yeah, she came up and wanted ABBA. And I'm thinking to myself, how can you want ABBA? And how do you think this is going to work? I'm playing, I don't know, Heads High or Who Am I, Beanie Man or whatever. And you want to hear Dancing Queen. Make it make sense. Do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I don't understand what goes through people's heads. I know they're drunk, right? I get it, right? Mm. But why are you in a place that is predominantly urban music? Like, I hate using the word urban, but predominantly black music or whatever. Why are you coming in here and requesting ABBA? Pop World is down the road. Like, from where I play, Pop World, it just confuses me. But I do take requests. So basically, I allow the person to come up to me and say the request. If sometimes I don't know, like for example, I was playing I can't remember what song it was, but I think I was playing Biggie, and then the girl came up and requested another Biggie tune. I was like, oh my God, I forgot about that tune. I'll run it.
Yes, sick. I love that.
Or like if it fits, or if it's a song that I haven't heard of before, I haven't played in ages, I'll run it. But if you're coming up to me and like change the music, oh, I want to hear this and that, you need to just go away. Go enjoy. This is the thing. Go enjoy your night. Go and enjoy yourself. And I guarantee in about 10 minutes' time, you're going to be dancing and enjoying yourself with your friends.
That's the
Leave
thing. I feel like some people don't realize, like, they can enjoy the night if they just allow the DJ to be the DJ.
it.
But I mean, I guess it's a tricky one because normal people,
Yeah. Civilians.
it's the civilians, they don't structure music and they don't think about music the way that we think about it.
Yeah.
To us, bro, I'm playing Vybz Kartel. How the hell am I going to put Mamma Mia on? Like, do you understand that doesn't make any sense? It's like putting peanut butter in Coca-Cola. Like, it doesn't make sense.
It's because all these people, so everyone on their phone either has Spotify
That's
or
it.
Apple Music,
Yeah.
and they could be listening to Vybz Kartel,
And
but
then
they
Mamma Mia.
and then Mamma Mia, and because they do that, they think the DJ can do that, but they don't understand what's going on in the club. They don't
Yeah.
understand that you can't change that drastic. I've seen DJs change that drastically. Don't get me wrong, I've
Yeah.
seen it, and you've seen the dance floor literally just break.
Yeah.
Like, so sometimes I really want like the person that's requesting ABBA when I'm playing dance hall, I want them to get on the mic and be like, "Do you know what, guys? I'm about to play Mamma Mia, and I want to see them get booed."
Was it you that tweeted that?
As in, oh
So,
no, that.
so someone put a tweet out and said everyone that requests a song should have to do it on the mic
Yeah,
so
I
that
saw
everybody
that.
boos the shitty requests.
Yeah, honestly, I saw that tweet, but yeah, I didn't write it. But they should, because the amount of stupid requests that come, I get it. You want to hear your favorite song and stuff like that, man. But you need to understand where you are, and you need to understand that we are going to get to your certain music. Because if they're coming up, if they're coming in, if a lot of people are requesting ABBA, then maybe, I don't know, you might need to start playing a bit more commercial stuff like that. You understand? But they can't just expect you to go from dancehall or hip hop or whatever to play Mamma Mia. It don't make sense. It will mess up the room as well. Especially if you build up the room with a lot of like hip hop, R&B or whatever. You've got that crowd and you play Mamma Mia, that entire hip hop R&B crowd will go, and then
Yeah,
the five people that want ABBA will be on the dance floor, but you are getting stared out as a DJ.
but you
Like,
know what? Halfway through that ABBA song, those five people are going to leave because everyone else left.
yeah, exactly.
And now you're just playing ABBA to an empty room.
I'm saying it just doesn't make it does not make sense, man. But okay, do you take requests?
Exactly the same, you know. Like last night's a good example. Where I played last night was on a stage. And so there's a good, like, probably 8 to 10 feet between where the DJ booth is. And it's quite a big, chunky DJ booth. It's one of those big table type booths. So, like, I've got the table, and then there's like 8 to 10 feet before a fence. And that's where the crowd is. That's where the people are. So, no one can actually walk up to the DJ booth and request songs. So what I get quite often in this place last night, what I had quite a lot, was people holding up their phones, you know, with the yellow banner with the black writing on it. I don't even know what app that is or where that comes from,
It's
but
Snapchat. It's Snapchat.
oh, okay, right. So
It's
that's
Snapchat.
how they're using it. I don't use Snapchat. So that I have them ones. And the reason I said Mamma Mia is because last night a girl had Mamma Mia on there. And so yeah, taking requests. In that instance, no. But if she was to hold up a record that, if she was to hold up one that I like and it works for the night, I'd have been like, yeah, cool, I'm going to play it. And so I would take a request there. I try not to. If I can go a whole entire night and no one requests a song, vibes. I love that. But I'm not the guy that's like, oh, fuck off, man. I'm trying to DJ. Like, you can't chat to me when I'm DJing. You can't give me requests. But I do think, like, make it make sense. Do you know what I mean? Like,
And
I'm playing Vybz Kartel. I've been playing black music, or do you know what I mean? Like, non-commercial, cheesy pop music the entire night. There's not even been a sprinkle of cheese. ABBA doesn't make sense. You're not gonna hear ABBA here. Like, that's not this playlist. Like, yeah, so just use some common sense. My favorite time is, yeah, when someone requests, like you said with the Biggie thing, when someone requests an absolute monster of a song that you haven't thought of or haven't heard for ages. And you're like, oh shit, like,
I forgot about that one.
Sick. And now that's my guy. Like, you're my person. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're getting a spud. I'm telling you, you're sick. And now for the rest of the night, like, you can ask for any song. Like, you're on the vibe. I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, the other cool thing is if you have a song loaded to play next and someone and asks for that song.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're in the same vibe as me. Like, we're on the same frequency right now. I like this.
Yeah. So there's two things that you said. So you said, the song that, if they come up and request a song that you've got loaded, you ever had someone come up and request a song that's already currently playing?
Not a song, but an artist.
Oh, yeah.
Or a genre.
Yeah. I've had someone come up to me and say, can you play In the Club 50 Cent whilst it's playing? And then on from that, you said before, like you said, if someone comes up to you and they request a song that you can request all night, have you ever had someone that you've played the request, but then they've come up again and again because you've given them their request, you've played their song, they feel like they can come up to you again and again, and they feel like you're their personal jukebox now.
Yeah, yeah. Now, yeah. You know, the really annoying ones are the people that do that. They'll ask for a song. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here's the example. So I've got a certain song in my head that I'm going to play tonight. Mm-hmm. They've come and asked for it, but they've asked it a bit early.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not planning on playing this until maybe like 1:30 or whatever. They're asking at 12. They're asking at midnight, can you play this song? And obviously everyone that listens knows I don't, apart from Last, I don't play a song more than once. So they've requested it at 12. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to play it, but I'm going to play it later on.
Mm.
10 past 12, they come back up. Can you play it? No, I'm going to play it later. Like when I do that type of music, I'm going to put it, it's going to be later on. So like, I know I'm playing it tonight, but it's not yet. The club's not busy enough. It's going to be when it's busy. Okay, cool. 20 minutes goes past, 12:30, they're back. No, I'm going to play it later. Like I'm 100% going to play it. I swear to you, I'm going to play it. But not now, it'd be later.
Keep coming up.
And now they're back. And then it gets to a point where it's like, you know what?
I've got to play the tune.
Please stop asking me. I just tell them straight, please stop asking me for the song. I'm going to play it. Yeah, but we're leaving in 10 minutes. Then you're going to miss it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not playing it in the next 10 minutes. I'm sorry. I'm still polite with them. Then they go away. Then they don't leave in 10 minutes. She was just shouting shit.
Yeah.
And then they come up. And then, but you know what? They've done it so tenaciously. But now it's actually coming up to the point where I'm about to play the song. And this is a song I was looking forward to playing anyway. It's a big song. Everyone's going to play it. And 2 minutes before you put it on, she comes up and asks, you know what? I was going to play it next. And now I don't even want to play it. Because now if I play it, it feels like I've only played it because you've been bugging me all night to play it.
Yeah.
I was going to play it now anyway. But now I don't want to.
Yeah.
Because now you think it's about you. Do you know what I mean? Like now if I play it, your mentality is I bugged the DJ every 5 minutes for 2 hours and he played my song. That's how to get your song played.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh.
Yeah. See me, if someone annoys me that much, I'm not playing the song. I'll purposely not play it. I'll just push it back. I'll push it back as far as possible. Yeah, yeah. To an extent where I won't even play it. Like even if it's a song that I want to play, I'll purposely just do that to them.
I do feel like that sometimes. It's so childish.
Yeah, it's so childish. But they're being childish, keep coming up. Oh, play my song. No. Like, I have control here. Like,
yeah.
It's, you know what? Requests are just too much. But.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what? Like, actually, and I've mentioned this before, European countries, people pay for requests.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And then we're like, even if I'm playing in a club, if like someone who appears to be European will come up and ask for a song, they're always paying me. £20. There, can you play this for my friend's birthday? Right, and they don't even say like, how much is it? Like they just give you £20. Can you play this for my friend's birthday?
Yeah, but they don't do that over here. But then what if there was an app?
That's a beautiful segue. Beautiful, beautiful segue. I love how you did that. I love how you did that because, yeah, this video went viral as well. The request app.
This the one, the Crossfader. Was it Crossfader that put it out? Was it Crossfader?
I'm not sure. I got sent it about 500 times in my DMs from people. So it's called 128, I think.
And I thought it was a concept, but yeah, go on.
No, it exists. And it's basically, it's a request app. So the DJ has it there. And the way it works is the customer scans a QR code and sends the request. So as far as I'm aware, the QR code opens a website. So like a web form.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To send the request. So obviously your banking details is already on your phone. And basically the request goes through to the app that the DJ has and it sets up a queue. So as the DJ, you can set how much you're going to charge per request. And obviously if the person's requesting it through the web form, they will then have to pay. So then the request ends up in your queue on your phone. And if you play it, you get the money. If you don't play it, you just return the request and they get their money back. So I think that's sick.
Yeah, so I saw it on Crossfader's Instagram. I thought, I'm sure it said, wouldn't this be a great idea? So I thought it was a concept, but I've just gone into 128 DJ now and it's actually an app. And like you can see one of the screenshots, it's like someone's requested Pop Smoke Dior and how much are they? So yeah, you can go accept or decline. So say for example, it's like Tinder. So you can be like, oh.
Yeah, just swipe.
And then you play it. But that's crazy. Do you know what? A lot of DJs could probably get paid a lot of money through this because you got to think the amount of people that are drunk in a club that would just do this. Have you ever left the club before? You're well drunk. You wake up in the morning and see how much money you spent. Imagine all your transactions are just to the DJ.
Yeah, imagine that. Imagine that now. Yeah, like, shit, I spent £350 on requests. Meanwhile, the DJ's there laughing like, yep. It's this month's mortgage paid. I think initially I actually jumped in their comments and I was like, this is a great concept, but how are you going to explain to a drunk person? You need to download the app. Then you're going to need to set up a profile. Then you're going to need to put in your banking details so that it can pay me. Then you need to do this and that. And it just seemed too complicated, but they actually explained to me, nah, it's just the DJ that has the app.
Yeah.
The customer scans a QR code. It's basically like ordering food at a restaurant now where you use a QR code. Yeah, you scan, it goes onto the website. I haven't used it, so I'm just going off of how it's been explained to me. It goes onto the website and they fill in the form with their request. They pay the money and then it pops up on the DJ's app in the request thing. And then you can go through that. I think that's an outstanding idea. I think apparently they take 20% of the payment.
No, that's fine, mate. What,
like, but I mean, to be honest, like if you're setting it at £10 a request, they're taking £2, but you're getting £8 for playing a song you was going to play anyway.
Exactly. If you get like 10 songs in a night, like, but then at the same time, right? I get it. It's a great idea, but I feel like going forward, if DJs use it too much, then they're going to be doing it for the money, and their sets are going to be, determined on their sets are not going to be them. It's going to be like a random person in the crowd kind of curating their set for them. Do you understand? Like, there's not going to be your own flavor anymore. It's just going to be a bunch of random requests. Because especially, say for example, you put a song request at, I don't know, £50. Every time someone requests, even if it's ABBA, what, are you going to play it?
So no, 50- I personally, I wouldn't. So I could, let's just, okay, hypothetical. If I decide, you know what, if people want to influence my set, they're paying £100 for a song.
£100.
Okay. If that hundred, that's not my price, by the way, but I'm just the hypothetical, yeah? Ping, phone beeps, and someone said Mamma Mia from ABBA, and they are willing to pay £100 for me to play that song. It's getting declined.
Declined.
Yeah, of course.
Well, yeah.
Because for me, that's so off brand.
Yeah.
That I would never do that. I like £100 is not enough for me to show everyone, the 400 or 500 people in the room, that I'm willing to play ABBA. Because that's not who DJ Double is. That's not the direction DJ Double goes. I mean, cool, everyone has a price. If it's £1,000 now,
yeah.
to play Mamma Mia, best believe I'm going to quickly get online, find it somewhere, download it, probably a YouTube rip, and yeah. I'm going to play it. I'll play it for 2 minutes because I'm getting a bag.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm not saying like, oh no, I'm so high morals that I would never charge. Nah, giving me a grand to play Mamma Mia for 2 minutes, I'm taking the grand. Normal money flying around, like 10s, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50 pounds. I'm not playing that in the middle of my set, man. No chance.
Yeah, nah.
No chance. You've got to have serious money for me to jeopardize what I'm doing for 2 minutes.
Yeah, I reckon a lot of DJs will download this and just start running some mad sets.
I mean, they can, but unfortunately, that'll be detrimental to them because their audience will change.
Yeah, exactly.
And the people in the club will change. Now you'll have people in the club that don't really understand the flow of the music and don't really care about why you're there as a DJ. And those guys are replaceable.
Yeah, facts.
You know? And then what will happen is the numbers will die out and then the club will be like, well, you've been playing mad shit for like 2 months. Like weird, your sets don't make sense. So like now you've got to go. We've got to find someone good.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Or the clubs will pack out because people know that they can choose the music and then that's the direction it goes. And now suddenly you're playing everyone's music, but you're getting loads of money for it. And that's a win. Cool.
Yeah.
But for me personally, as cliche as it sounds, I do it because I love DJing.
Yep, facts,
like outside of the clubs, this shit is a stressful job, bro. Like I don't do this because I want to be stressed and want to be working 24 hours a day. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I do all of this because I love being in a club. I love curating the music for the night and I love my decisions making everyone go sick.
Yeah,
that's what I love. So, but I am actually, I've got quite a few club sets over the next few weeks. I'm going to be trialing this 128 thing when people start requesting stuff. First of all, I'm going to see if it works. If I'm like, yeah, if you want to request, just scan the QR code and go through that. I want to see if they actually do that.
Yeah,
but they might just be like, oh, fuck this guy.
Yeah, I might download it for my set this weekend. I'll set every song at like £5 or $5 and see if it works and see if people come up. Because you got to think, right? Yeah, like you said, everything's like QR code and pay quickly. And especially if you've got Apple Pay on your phone.
Oh, yeah.
How easy is it to search a song, put a song in and just double tap. It just come out your credit card, whatever. So
The one thing I don't know is, if someone puts the ABBA request through, so boom, £100, ABBA request, swipe, thank you, I've got your £100, but I'm still not playing your song, fuck your song.
Yeah.
How do they, like, if you don't play the requests, but you take the money, what happens then? Like, how, obviously that person's never going to use the app again, but I don't give a shit, I've got your £100.
You're going to get headache from the person all night, I guess, innit? They're going to keep coming up to you.
Then at the end of the night, or either that, I'll just be like, security, this person's really bugging me. Can you take them away?
There's got to be.
Requested a song. Security don't care. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, there's got to be some sort of, what's it called? Security for the customer.
Yeah.
Like, unless it's like, I don't know. Because even if they put a complaint in, how are they going to prove that the song wasn't played? You understand?
That's it. I'd just be like, they must have been in the toilet. Of course I played it. How can I prove? I can't prove that I played it. I delete my playlists after every set. Do you know what I mean? There's so many ways. But I guess if you constantly get complaints to the app,
they'll lock you off.
They might probably ban you from it or something like that. I don't know. I'm actually going to be interested. I'm going to try and find out the answer to that.
Yeah,
I'm quite interested. But what? All right, here's the thing then. So download the app. Let's trial it for the next couple of weeks. And then in July, let's have a chat about this app and see if it's been working. Let's do a month trial and see, and we'll compare how much we've made as well.
All right, cool. Let's do this. Let's do Vibes. This. But the thing is, you're gonna have to. I don't know. Would you just do it as people come up, or would you announce it if you want to have if you want any requests?
No. I'm not gonna. I don't want to encourage people to request songs.
Yeah.
I want this to be like all right, cool. If you're gonna request it, at least I'm gonna get tips.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be on the mic. Like, if anyone wants to request a song, come over, scan. Like, no. For me, I'm about vibes, innit? Like, I'm.
All right, cool.
It's vibes for me. So
keep it low key. And then if someone comes up, be like, listen, if you want to request a song, you got to scan this QR code.
Yeah.
And then, request a song. And if it's cool, I'll accept it and run your request. If not, you get your money back, innit? Simple as.
Yeah. Right, yeah, cool. Yeah. So I'm going to trial it. And then in July, we'll talk about We'll sit and we can sit with our piles of money that we made.
Compare cash.
I'm gonna get the cash out of the bank and have it sat next to me. I'm just gonna be sat on a throne of money from all the requests that I've got. Yeah. I think it's a very dope concept anyway.
Yeah, it's a good idea, but we don't know. Well, don't know if it will definitely work, but we'll see in it. We'll try it out and see what happens.
Indeed. You got anything else to add? Anything you want to chuck into this episode?
Nah, do you know what? I think we've spoken about quite a bit actually. How long have we been on there for?
Hours, hour and a half. Bro, I don't know. I wasn't even timing this one. We've been here for hours.
Yeah, hour and a half or something, innit? But nah, it's good, man. It's good to be finally back on the pod.
Good vibes. Yeah, CB, thank you for joining me, bro. So yeah, guys, don't forget, check out all the socials at TalkOverPod on TikTok, on Instagram, on Twitter. It's all there. Tell a friend to tell a friend. And yeah, make sure you follow us on all the socials and all that good stuff.
Follow us up, man. Follow us up.
That's it. TalkOverPod, DJ Double, DJ CB, and we're out of here.
Peace.